If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the Word of God from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 3, I want to read, in the interest of time, one verse now and maybe another verse later. From the New International Version, I read Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I want to talk for a few minutes from the subject, the audience, or rather an audience of one. I'm a fan of the English language, a fan of public speaking and grammar. In fact, I am a member of the Grammar Police Force, and I always correct the emails of friends of mine. And I put at the bottom, as a member of the Grammar Police Force, I am obligated to tease you about your line. And then I tell them the line to which I'm referring. I listen closely to communicators and find the abundance of filler words disturbing and frightening. People who cannot string together four or five sentences without saying, you know, and it's sort of like, kinda. I heard someone on television this morning during the morning news, they were being interviewed, and the person kept ending the sentences with so. I went to Western Michigan, so then I was sitting with my family, and we had a real good time, so I thought, why are you saying so? Doesn't add anything. And the famous and rather ubiquitous whatever. Yeah, I got some errands to run. I got to go to the dry cleaners, get my suit out, and then I want to stop by a quick copy and do a couple of things, and whatever. Well, either you're going to make those two stops and go someplace else, or you're not. But you're not going to stop at whatever. When Paul writes to his beloved fellow Christians in Colossae, he uses no filler words, doesn't waste any words. Every word bears its own weight in his sentences. Even his whatever is strategically used. Listen to the text. And whatever you do. Now, when he says whatever, it isn't, and like, whatever. It's better than that. He says that you and I have options when it comes to ministry. He doesn't tell them what they should do in terms of ministry. Not everyone has to preach. Not everyone has to teach. Not everyone has to sing. Not everyone has to write. We have lots of ways we may honor our Christ. This is what he says. Whatever you do, you can almost picture him throwing up his hands. And whatever you do, he suggests that there is a plethora of options available to the people of God. We have such narrow views of ministry. Say, I'm going to enter the ministry. Oh, really? And where are you going to pastor? Well, I'm not going to be a pastor. I'm going to be a writer. Oh. Oh, so you're not going to be in the ministry. Yes, it's a ministry of writing. Oh. We don't know where to put that. Because we have had such narrow definitions. Paul says, you're supposed to do ministry. And whatever you do, then he tells them not what to do, but how to do what they do. I have a friend named Jesse. Jesse is a juggler. He does children's ministry around the country. But he will often go to a public park in Richmond, Virginia, where he lives, take his clubs and balls, and he'll just start juggling. And invariably, he'll gather some children around him. They'll just come, and he'll start juggling, and then he says to them, let me tell you a story. And he'll tell a Bible story or give testimony of his relationship with Jesus. He'll say, let me tell you about my best friend while he's juggling. And he's ministering through juggling. InterVarsity Christian Fellowship hosts on campuses all across the country on a Friday night something called a GIG, Groups Investigating God. And it is a low, no-pressure gathering of people who have questions about God. I hear Paul saying, whatever you do, juggling, medical ministry, literacy work, starting an irrigation project in some underserved area, hosting a gig, Paul says, I don't care. Whatever you do. And then he tells them not what to do, but how to do what they do. Let's look at it in the text. Whatever you do, make sure you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here he suggests that whatever you do, don't be foolish enough to do your best work in your own name. Your own name is not that great. He says, whatever you do, go out with the backing and the authority of the Lord Jesus. We go out in his name. Some years ago, I was preaching at Houghton College, and Houghton College, I discovered, is very near Cuba, New York. I overheard someone say, no, I don't live here in Houghton, I live in Cuba. I said, are we near Cuba, New York? They said, yes. I had had some conversation with a miniature horse breeder in Cuba, New York. I was contemplating buying a miniature horse. Beautiful animals, 34 inches tall or shorter, but the same conformation as a regular-sized horse except in miniature, and I thought they were beautiful animals. So I called the lady and I said, this is Richard Allen Farmer from Dallas, and I'm very near you. Could I come over to see your animals tomorrow? She said, yes, that'd be fine. So I went over there. A friend of mine from Houghton took me over there. Had this beautiful day of seeing these miniature stallions. It's just beautiful. So my friend who works at Houghton says to the woman, I have two small children. Could I bring them over? And she says, this really is not a petting zoo or a farm that's even open to the public. I only invite people who are contemplating buying one of my animals. She said, but if you call me, I'll make an exception. You call me and use Mr. Farmer's name and remind me that you met me through Mr. Farmer and I'll let you in, but I don't normally let people onto the property. I said to him, see, stick with me. What she was saying is, you are not qualified to come here, but if you use the right name, if you come in the name of another whom I know, I'll let you on to the property. Listen to what Paul says. Don't go out there in your own name. Go out there with the full backing. Use the name of Jesus to give credibility to all that you do. We do our ministry, our best work in the name of the Lord Jesus. With Jesus backing us up, with his authority, with his words, with his concepts, with his model life informing us, with his word behind us and in us. That's where the power for ministry comes from. Paul says, I don't really care what you do, whatever, but make sure you do it in the name. Secondly, he says, and whatever you do, make sure you do it with passion. Way to get that, farmer. That's not even in the 17th verse. Glad you asked. Glad you're tracking. It's in the 23rd verse. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Bring some energy to it, he says. Aren't you tired? Aren't you weary of these people who do ministry and look like they're just having the most horrible day? How are you doing? Yeah, we've come to represent Jesus and, to bring some salt and light to this situation. So where are the kids? We're supposed to have a VBS and ministry with the children. Where are the little crumb snatchers? Yeah, let's sing together, children. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Or whatever. Paul says, no, whatever you do, says you have lots of options, but whatever you do, he says, work at it with all your heart. Bring to your ministries passion and high energy. Look like you're excited about what you're doing. Give it your heart. Glade Byron Adams says that we are, this is a great line. He says, we ought to chase down your passion like it's the last bus of the night. chase down your passion like it's the last bus of the night. Another writer says that nothing great in the world has ever been accomplished without passion. Bring to your ministries the great joy that is ours to know because we know Christ. Bring to your ministries the great energy that is ours to know because we've been infused with the Spirit of God. Bring some passion to it. In fact, you ought to bring that passion to all of life, not just simply your ministry activities, but you ought to live life as if it matters. I got to wrap this up. Then he says, he tells them not what to do in ministry. They have lots of options, but he tells them how. You ought to do it in the name. You ought to do it with passion. Then he says this, and with this I close. He says, and you ought to do it with a singular focus. Well, I don't want you to think I'm making this up, so let me show it to you in the text. Verse 23 of Colossians 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for humans. Since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. I hope you like me, but I'm really not doing what I do for your accolades. Ultimately, I want God to be pleased with my work, with my ministry, with what I've given myself to. I want God to be honored. I want him to look on me and say, well done, son. I gave gifts to you, and I'm pleased with the way you're using them. Well done, son. I gave you a mandate. I'm pleased that you're fulfilling your mandate. Well done, son. I told you to take my gospel to the world, and you're doing that. Well done, daughter. Well done, son. That's what I wanted to say. Ultimately, I'm not playing to the gallery. Ultimately, I play to an audience of one. I heard the story of a 12-year-old boy who was a violin prodigy. Wonderful violinist at the age of 12. In fact, at the age of 12, he already had his own manager and was giving concerts in the region of the country in which he lived. He gave a concert to a packed auditorium, had a balcony, and on both levels, the people were thunderously applauding after every piece. At the end of the concert, he played his final piece, and the people erupted, stood up, standing ovation. He went to the back. His manager says, man, you're killing them tonight. You're killing them tonight. He went back out, looked around. They were still applauding. He came back. He was crestfallen. His manager says, what is wrong with you? They loved you. He said, my teacher's out there. My teacher is not standing. He says, if my teacher doesn't stand, it doesn't matter who else does. Here's what I want to know. When you do your best work, is God applauding? And if he doesn't, it doesn't matter who else does. Because ultimately, we minister to an audience of one. May God help us all to do our best work in the name and with passion and to our God. Would you please remain seated for the benediction? And would you please receive it with your eyes open? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. What you know not, may he teach you. And what you have not, may he give you. And what you are not, may he make you. All for his glory and not our own. Amen.